God, we thank you for Claire, and we thank you for her ministry in all sorts of ways, at Woodlands and at home and in other places. And we ask that you'll bless her now, God, that you'll fill in the speaking as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's lovely to be here. Bit of a welcome for you, a hello to you from Woody's as well, and it's nice to visit here. I was really hoping to see Simon, our old friend, but he's apparently away on holiday. But it's lovely to be here. And I did have a really nicely prepared PowerPoint for you, but I'm afraid it's completely, for some reason, not worked here. So I'm not sure if we even got the introduction. No, maybe not. Well, it doesn't really matter. Okay, you're just starting a series on identity, and I think over the next 3 or 4 weeks, you're looking at different aspects of what it means to have your identity in God. And as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking, I wonder if that actually means anything to you. You know, what does it mean to you to know your identity? In some ways, it's a little bit of a strange idea. It's probably not something that you walk around thinking about. Who am I? Sometimes it's a bit of a sort of question of the modern age, I think. I'm not sure how much people have asked that question over the centuries, but it's certainly something that people have asked and talked about. But I wonder if in normal everyday life you ever think, who am I? Do I really know who I am? Probably, if you ever did, it would be at times of pressure or crisis or difficulty that throws your life out of its normal balance and the normal things that you do, and it's kind of the expected. Those kind of times are often the times when we might be asking the question, well, you know, everything seems to have changed. I don't know who I am anymore in this situation. Perhaps a time of loss or difficulty, or where you suddenly feel like you're not functioning at your best. Those are the times of questions, where times when you might be thinking, well, you know, what am I really here for? What is my life all about? I just want you to sort of get thinking on those questions, because I think over the next 3 or 4 weeks, some answers will be given, hopefully. But today, the focus of this talk is really about what it means to be a child of God, which is one aspect of our identity as the people of God. And I'm just going to tell you a couple of stories. A little group of us do prayer on the streets regularly, have been doing it for years. We do it on a Wednesday morning in Stokescroft in Bristol. And it's just a little group of us, and we stand by a really badly made sign that says free prayer, and we offer to pray for people who are walking by. And a little while ago, a lady walked past who I recognised. Now, sometimes in prayer on the streets, actually seeing somebody you recognise can be a little bit of a, you know, uncomfortable, because it does seem a bit strange to people. And she wasn't a Christian lady. She was the mother of my daughter's friend. And here she was coming along the street, and I just swallowed and stepped in front of her and said, "Hi, it's me. Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Well, actually, we're leaving Bristol this week, my daughter and I, and we're moving. And I feel a bit anxious about it. You could pray for me. Yes, just pray for me for protection," or something like that. And I prayed for her, a very simple prayer, and for protection, that God would be with her as she went, and she went on her way. And then I didn't see her again for 2 years. And 2 years later, we were on holiday, and we were passing by their new house on Dartmoor, and we dropped in to see them. And I ended up talking to her. And she said, "You know, that day you prayed for me, the strangest thing happened." She said, after I'd moved on from you, I went down the street, and not very far down, I just was passing a car, and a man got out of the car, and not meaning to at all, he was putting on his jacket, and his elbow sort of went out as he put his jacket on, and he hit me in the face by accident so hard. I was nearly knocked out. You know that thing when you get knocked on your nose and it's absolute agony? And she said, I burst into tears. It was awful. And I was thinking, God, why did that happen? You know, I just prayed for protection. I was thinking, God, that would be one of those times when, you know, that, you know, to protect, you know, when you give God advice. And I was cringing a bit thinking, she's going to say, see, prayer doesn't do anything. And I said, oh, so what did you think about that? And she said, do you know, she said, it really got me to thinking, you'd prayed this prayer about God protecting me, and then that happened. And I just thought to myself, maybe I'm not in the protection of God. Such an interesting thing to have thought. And it actually, there is a place in his protection and a place out of it. And maybe I'm not really in it for some reason. And it set her on this bit of a spiritual journey. And she'd started going to church. And so we had this really lovely chat, and I prayed for a bit more. And then we went. And then I saw her again 6 months later. She came to Bristol and dropped in. And she said, I've had such a journey since we've been talking, and I've been really exploring. And she said, I feel like I really need to be introduced to God the Father. And so we did. We prayed in my living room, and I literally did an introduction. I said, God, this is this lady. I said, this is God. He's your Father. And I prayed for her. And I haven't actually seen her since, but we have been in touch a little bit, and she's going on with God. It's interesting, isn't it? What are the things that make you actually recognize your need for God in that way? And what are the pressures or the pains of life, the difficulties that wake us up a little bit to our vulnerability? I'll just tell you one other short story. A few years ago, my family and I went on a massive trip. It was like a big holiday. It was 2 months long. We took time out from work, and we travelled from John O'Groats to Land's End in a gypsy caravan. I know it sounds weird, but it was my husband's idea, and he comes up with that sort of thing every now and again. And as we were going along, I can't really tell you the whole story of it, but there was one moment where I just felt really vulnerable. We were walking along the road behind, we walked along behind the gypsy caravan. We were going 3 miles an hour. We were on an A road in Scotland. Everything was going about 60 miles an hour. And I felt really vulnerable. And I found myself praying, God, please protect us. These fast cars, this is such a mad idea. Why are we even doing this? Are you here? And just praying and talking to God. And had this, realized that I had this feeling that, because why would God protect us when we were just doing this thing for our own indulgence, our entertainment? It was our own holiday. It wasn't a mission trip where we were saying we were putting ourselves into danger for the sake of God and I could ask him to protect us. It was just literally a holiday, a mad holiday, admittedly. And I was thinking that thought, and I suddenly felt the Holy Spirit speak to me really clearly. I felt him say, you just still don't get it, do you? And as I was thinking, I felt as if God was saying, you think that you're behaving like a worker. You think that I'll protect you if you're working for me, as if you can somehow earn the right to be protected when you're on the job. But you've forgotten that you're a child. And of course, I want to protect you because you're my child. And you know, I had one of those little wake-up moments where you realise I've been thinking in one way, but my thinking needs to be renewed. I hope you know what I'm getting at. So, this series on identity really is about rewiring your thinking, our thinking, so that we think like a child. Liz was just saying about what are the things about being a child, and one of them was about being carefree. And you know, how can we be carefree in the light of the world that we're living in? Or even, how can we be carefree in your life with the things that are going on in your life right now? Is it possible just to be carefree? What about the pressures of work, or people that you're anxious about, or your own safety, or your future? Is it possible? Would you just have to be a bit oblivious? And actually, what I think that some of these verses that we're going to look at now to teach us, what they teach us is that to be a child of God, it is possible to be carefree, but that carefree state doesn't come from being oblivious or stupid or switched off. It comes from a really deep choosing to trust God. And that's the secret of our identity as children of God, is not just to be immature, but to be mature and choosing, trusting in God. So we're just going to listen to this this passage from John chapter 1. It's a really familiar passage, but I just ask you as I'm reading it to be looking out for the aspects of this reading that are touching on identity. Now, they begin with Jesus' identity, who he is, and then they follow on to our identity in the light of his identity. So it's really this familiar passage from the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We know that the Word is another name for Jesus. So we're talking about Jesus with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So that passage speaks about the identity of Jesus and how the whole world was made through him. But it says that the whole world was made through him, and he came into the world, but he wasn't recognized when he was in the world. All the things that were true about him, his power, his goodness, his creative power to make the world, weren't recognized. And he came and he was literally not recognized. And in fact, he was rejected by the world. The sorts of things that would cause an absolute crisis in us. You know, if you've done something really right for once and people don't see it or know it, or you're really good at something but you're not recognized, you're overlooked, or somebody falls in love with somebody else instead of you, or you're rejected in friendship. All those things that cause us a crisis internally and make us really, what do they make us? Anxious, questioning, self-doubting, weighed down, not carefree. Those things Jesus experienced when he came into the world, and he more than anyone else had the right to feel that he should be recognized. He experienced all of that. And then it says that for those that recognized him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. That's us. So for those of us who have seen him and recognized him, we get the right to be a child of God. And what that passage really is saying is that there is a bit of a battle over this area. And whether or not we're aware of it, that is a reality for each human being that lives on this earth. For you, your children, your friends, your parents, the grown-ups, the children, every single human being that lives in the world, there's a battle for our identity. There was for the Son of God and there is for us. And it's a serious and significant battle. And the reason why is because there's this greater spiritual battle that we're born into. And it's important for us to understand and know who we are as the people of God. Because the battle is won that way. So it really matters whether or not you live with a conscious sense of being a child of God. It matters. It matters for your peace, your ability to live a carefree life, but it also matters for the world because of the mission of Jesus, for you as a church, that you, the people of God here at Alma Church, know who you are in God. It really matters. It's not a small thing. It's a big deal. So I'm just going to... What time is it? What time have I got till? Somebody tell me a time to stop. 1:45? Yeah? Okay, I'll try and go for that. What I'm going to do is just quickly whiz through two or three things that cause us to get our identity sort of wrong and broken and insecure, and then just look at the way that Jesus helps us to change that. So in the beginning, the very beginning of all things, it really helps us to understand and remember that passage in Genesis where it talks about the creation of human beings. And I don't know if you've ever noticed something in the account of creation, how different the account of the creation of human beings is to the world. I wonder if you can think about how it's spoken of. So can you remember that in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about God bringing all the different aspects of creation into being. Can anyone just say how he does it? He just said it. He spoke and light happened, and he spoke and the earth became full of animals and things like that. Do you remember that? There's a difference when it comes to the creation of human beings. And it says this, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." That's in Genesis chapter 2. What is the difference between the way God makes creation and human beings? What's the significant difference? One, he speaks. What's he do for... Okay, right, so breath and the word. But it also talks about him forming man from the dust of the earth. It really implies this idea of a hands-on experience, doesn't it? It's kind of like, I sort of imagine it like a clay model being sculpted by the hands of God. Now, whatever this passage means, whether it's literal or whether it's an allegory that explains to us the communication, the message that is in that passage says that when God got to the creation of human beings, it was a intimate, tender moment in the story of creation. Maybe the speaking was glorious, crazy, fireworks, but when he gets to the creation of human beings, he is sculpting us with his own hands, and he breathes his own breath into this human being. It's a tender moment. It's a completely different feeling in that story. That is the origin of human life. The Bible communicates this idea that we're tenderly, personally, intimately created by God. That's you. What an amazing idea that God, you know, it's clear from Scripture that God was present at our conception, in the womb, when no one else knew you even existed. It says he knit you together, that his eyes saw your unformed body, and that all the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them even came to be. What an amazing idea. And then it says in the New Testament, in Ephesians, that he chose us before the creation of the world. You know, there's this sense that God is intentional about you and your creation. You're here for for a reason, for a purpose, made by God. That's your origin. And you need to, we need to hold on to that in the face of the pressures of life. There are three things I'm just going to pick out that can dismantle our identity as a child of God easily. And there are some pressures that are constantly pitted against you and I. Whatever stage of life we're at, this is always true. One is, I don't know if you've heard the phrase separation anxiety. Psychologists use it to speak about maybe children who have had chaotic experiences of parenting and family, and or who have been separated early on in their life from a significant caregiver like a mother or a father. And they talk about how in later life, children who come from those environments often have this separation anxiety where they find it really hard to be left alone, and they have disordered attachments to people. It kind of makes a bit of a mess in their life. And the Bible describes, the very next chapter of Genesis describes the separation of the children of God, Adam and Eve, from God, and how after the fall, out of this, whatever it was that happened in that moment, these two people went from this ordered attachment to God, this intimate relationship with God formed by, from the breath of God, to being put outside of the garden. And what the Bible seems to say is that we're all living with the results of that separation. We've all got separation anxiety from God. And that causes us to make disordered attachments. That's what psychologists say about separation anxiety. It causes children to attach to the wrong people or to rely on the wrong stuff. And maybe as they go on into adulthood, they can become addicted to things that are really unhelpful to them in their attempt to try and steady themselves. And we're just like that, aren't we? We try and steady ourselves in our lives through all sorts of things. Sometimes it's through being really controlling. Sometimes it's through relationships, maybe relationships that are inappropriate. Sometimes it's through success or through our appearance. All sorts of things. We try and find ways to steady ourselves because we're separate from God. And the Bible talks about how Jesus came to restore that separation. We also talk sometimes about identity theft. You know what identity theft is? When somebody maybe gets hold of your cards and starts spending your money. And, you know, the dangers of the internet. They always say you've got to be really careful that you'd never give your card over the internet and things like that, because there are people out there who want to actually steal your identity and have access to everything that you should have. And in the Bible, really, the great sort of grandmaster of identity theft, Jesus called him a liar, a thief, and a murderer, the one who, Satan, the enemy of human beings, who wants to steal our identity. And we're all subject to that spiritual battle of the enemy who wants to steal our identity, because you've got something that he really wants. You've got a connection with God and a place in his heart and in the future that he has not got. And that is a living reality for all Christians, is that we're in that battle where the enemy wants to steal our identity and separate us from God. And we need to be aware of that. And thirdly, sometimes we talk about identity hooks. And what are the things that we hook our identity onto instead of, or even alongside, subtly in hidden ways, instead of God and trusting him? So are there things that we feel that we have got significance when our job is going well, our family life is peaceful, people are demonstrating that they care for us and love us? What are the things that we hook our identity onto? Not bad things by any means, but things that when they're shaken, even our faith in God is shaken. You know, there's a sign sometimes that things are not completely secure in us when the things in our lives are shaken and we start to question God. Is it possible to get to a place in life where, regardless of the circumstances, however hard they are, our faith in God and our connection to Him remains? I think that's a really massive challenge for all of us. It is for me. I know that probably the thing that most shakes my ability to trust in God, or the thing that most, the pressure point for me is my children. You know, one of them is in the Amazon jungle at the moment. And he was told that they went on this tour, he's travelling, he's in his gap year, and they were all given a machete in case of snakes. I mean, does a mother want to know something like that? I don't think so. You know, there's nothing that quite brings the pressure on for me and makes me think, God, are you actually there? Do you really exist? Is there a God? You know, that sense of the things that make shake our identity and our peace and our trust. Is it possible to reach a place where we are able to choose to have that connection with God, and that the only access point for that kind of trust is recognizing that we're a child of God? It's like me on that road on our trip. You know, the only way I could understand that it was possible that God would still want to protect me if I wasn't working for Him was that I was His child. There's no other way. And for each one of you, whoever you are, however well your life is going, however hard it is, whether you're at the end of your Christian journey or really at the beginning, that is a pivotal question in your life, and it will define who you are, what you're like to be around, and your future. You know, I was thinking when we were just singing that song, I Believe in God the Father, all those amazing statements of faith. I was thinking, I love that song, and it is really amazing. But just being able to say, I believe in all those things, but not having that sense of connection with God as a child of God, robs us and God of something really precious. Because you can have children who behave perfectly, who do all the right things, who are successful, who speak politely, who represent you well in the world. But if you haven't got a connection with your children, parent to child, father to son to daughter, mother to son to daughter, then it robs you and your children of the most important thing about being a child, the most important thing about life. Most parents will say, if you say to them, what do you want for your children? When it comes down to it, most parents will say, really? I just want them to be happy. Why do they say that? Because they care about them as people more than about what they do and achieve. Have we understood that in our relationship with God? Have we understood that that's God's motivation? It's not about good behavior. It's about this connection with Him, child to father. And I think there's a challenge for us in church, but also as we grow older in the faith, to keep hold of that. It's not easy to feel like a child when you're a grown-up, is it? When you've got all those pressures and the things that you've got to do, you're not carefree. And it's increasingly so, it feels, as you get older. But actually, I think the prize of our relationship with God and the prize for God Himself is when you and I relax into that sense of being His child. And I suppose as I'm finishing, you know, so much you could say on this. But actually, what Jesus said is that you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You become a child again. You can't do it. You can't just decide today, well, I'm going to try and be childish or childlike. You can't do it. But actually, what we can do is that we can turn to God and ask for that spiritual new birth. And I honestly have concluded that it's not a one-off. It's not something that happened when you made your commitment to Christ when you were 14 and then got baptized. Spiritual new birth happens all the time. God is always wanting to breathe his Holy Spirit back into us. And what? Make us better behaved? I'm not sure. I think what he wants to do each time he breathes his Spirit into us and his life is to bring us back to that place of being a child again and saying, okay, God, these are the circumstances of my life. These are the things that make me anxious, make me controlling, make me fearful, make me weighed down with pressure. These are those things. But today, I just want to open myself to your Holy Spirit again and ask you to breathe your life into me and bring me back to that place of trusting you and knowing you again as Father. I'm your daughter. I'm your son. You're my dad. You know, we can be very uncomfortable with the idea of calling God dad, can't we? We know though, don't we? We often say, oh yes, Jesus called his Father Abba. That means dad. We love to say that, but we almost have this repulsion about calling God dad. I wonder if I was to say to you, okay, for the rest of the day, I dare you, I challenge you, speak to God as dad, call him dad. It's a bit uncomfortable. I'm giving it as a little challenge. Why don't you do it when you pray? Say, okay, dad, and see how it reconfigures your sense of relationship. And is it possible that the heart of God is calling out to you, whether you're 90 or 5, to be his child like that and for him to call you, for you to call him dad? I think it is possible. But that is his agenda in our lives. And actually, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a well-known verse, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And I think God is recreating us and bringing that new creation reality into our lives every day if we welcome it. And it says that in Scripture that creation itself is groaning for in expectation for the children of God to be revealed, the sons of God to be revealed. It's as if the order of creation itself needs to see the people of God being the children of God, secure, trusting, peaceful, whole, in our difficult circumstances. Not only when things are well, but when things are difficult, in the crisis and turmoil in the world, in Brexit and all of these things, whether you're in or whether you're out, is it possible for us to be a child who is able to trust God and from that deep choosing place in us say, no one else has to change, no circumstance has to change, nobody has to behave differently towards me for me to be a child who can trust God and be at peace? And that's my prayer for me, with my son is in the Amazon jungle, and for you, is that we can be at rest in that place. That's really what it means to be a child of God, to be carefree. So shall I pray? So I'm just going to pray and ask God that he'll give us that rebirth, that new birth today. Thank you, Father God, for your grace that covers over all our mistakes and failures and our inability to live as you call us to be. Thank you that your grace covers our skewed thinking, our anxiety, our bitterness, our disappointment. There are so many things that skew our identity away from being simply able to trust you. But today, we just turn to you again, Father God, gracious Father. And I ask you to breathe your Holy Spirit into each one of us. We open our hearts and minds to you, Spirit of God. I ask you even now that each one of us would experience a new birth, that new creation reality coming into our lives, our minds, our hearts. And we speak to all the disorder around us and inside us and say, be still, be at peace. To our work pressures, we say, be still, be at peace. To our family pressures, to our anxieties, we say, be at peace. We thank you that you've given us your Spirit to enable us to walk with you like Adam and Eve did, carefree, in intimacy and wholeness. So we welcome your Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen.